Okay, so it's been a long journey. We started in August talking about databases, what databases were, talk about relational databases. We've been through developing databases, we've been through querying databases, modeling databases, and then we looked at normalization. We have been through some XML tree structure data. We have talked about the DOM to access and process data. We talked about the schema. And now, the last part, we have talked about more transactions, concurrency, recovery, indexing. So quite a lot of stuff. And yeah, now we are wrapping up. There's nothing really new today. That's good to know, isn't it? Hopefully, we'll be able to set things a little bit in perspective. I sometimes very much would like to start it all over again now, because with what you know now, you could learn much more from everything we've been doing. When you have the basis, we could really go deep into everything we've been talking about. But I would say, luckily, we are not going to repeat everything from the very beginning. But hopefully, today we'll be able to go through some examples and think about some of the things we did, and hopefully get a little bit better understanding of what this is all about. Because I do acknowledge that we are just scratching the surface. You have a little bit here and there, and a little bit more experience and understanding of some of the parts than other parts. And unfortunately, that's the way it would have to be in one course like this. We won't be able to get to the full depth. Now, this is the input I got last week, and for what, or I guess on Tuesday, for what we should do today. And how do we approach this? What I started doing is grouping it. So, seven commented something about the exam. It talked about the exam, some tips and tricks for the exam. Maybe go through some harder exam questions. I will talk about the exam in several cases. I will actually the way the exam will be organized is kind of the table of content for what we're doing now. I will not go through some exam questions, because I think the exam questions are there for you to exercise and practice and learn, and I won't spoil the fun by going through. But I will go through examples that are similar to exam questions, so we get the benefit of going through exam-type questions without stealing some of the options for you to work on the exam questions. I have to say that when I started, I did not want to put out suggested answers, because I think that trying to memorize the answers is not the way to go forward. You should try it yourself and get my feedback. But I realized that knowing what an answer could be like is valuable. So when you read the suggested answers, don't think that these represent the one and only way, not even necessarily the best way, but that's a rather straightforward way to solve it, and that demonstrates that you have gained the understanding that you're supposed to. And recap, go shortly through all the chapters, what you have learned, go over the most important exam-related topics. When I put a slash there, it's because I'm so frank to say that the exam will cover the most important topics. So if I cover the most important topics, I cover the exam topics. Now, after exam, you may disagree with me. So let's talk about this after exam, if I succeeded. And there were some mentioning of specific topics. Assignment one, conception, PHP. I'll mention it briefly. I mean, if I were to really go deep into these things, I wouldn't be able to do anything else today. So since these are just individual, the first one, PHP conception, had two students suggesting it. The other ones just had one. Advanced SQL queries, we will go through an example. Conversion between ER and tables, we'll talk about it. I'm not going to go through an example. We'll just talk briefly about it. SQL referential integrity, we're actually going to go a little bit into that. I think that could be useful. So that's what I'm planning on doing. Ah, sorry about the pizza. I like that, a little bit of bruise. I like that. Yeah, no, there won't be pizza. I had pizza yesterday. I hope you will have tonight. This is something quite important. I hope that the exam will be a surprise to you. But sorry, that wasn't the one I was thinking of. But I hope that the surprise is more on the cases than what you are asked to, the knowledge you're supposed to have. I hope that's not a surprise. So if we go here, I may need to... If we go back to the... I think I may need to log in. Sorry, I should have done that before. If you go to the front page, sorry, course information, that was the front page, you find information about the course. Here, you find a very important document, core topics document. Here, I listed everything that we have been covering in the course to some degree. And because, as I said, I would like to surprise, when it comes to the exam, I would like to surprise to be what the case is, not what you are asked to do. So of course, there will be a surprise because I'm not going to be able to cover everything. So which ones I pick would be a bit of a surprise, obviously. Now, there are columns here. And the first column is the priority. Priority one, priority two. Priority one means that these are the most important things we've been discussing. This is where we have spent most of the time. This is what we have covered most in the assignments. That's priority one. We do cover stuff I think you should know about, like what are the DBMS services and components. I've been showing the architecture of the inside the DBMS, the SQL optimizer, the data manager, the authorization control. Don't spend a lot of time trying to remember and memorize that model. You should know about some of the services, but I don't expect that to be something you know as well as the SQL DDML. Now, in addition to level one, level two, or priority one, priority two, I say whether I would like, I expect you to know about it. So, for instance, there are ANSI Spark architecture. The fact that you have the views, you have the conceptual model and everything, if you remember that model. I would expect you to understand that when you model, we start from the individual users, and then we have a conceptual model, and we have a physical model, and we have the database. So knowing those levels. But you're not going to create or assess anything. I mean, you just need to know about it. But for the end-tier architecture, I mean, we have created... a database that's accessible from a web database that's where we use codeception to code. So for the entire architecture, you should both know about it, you should be able to create it, and you should be able to discuss it, assess and discuss. So you will see from last year, one of the questions have been about codeception. How does it work? How does it interact with the whole system? And that is something that you should be able to assess. You should be able to program it, which you have done in the assignments, and you should also know about it. So, based on this, for the exam, what I recommend is, in the exam, you won't do a lot of create, a little bit, but most of the create we have done in the assignments. There will be a little bit fragments, but assess is very well suited for an exam. Are you able to discuss on this and say how it could be used, strength, benefits, disadvantages? So what I would suggest is take priority one and those with a cross on assess first. Feel that you know these pretty well, because you will have questions in that category saying, okay, and I'll show you some examples today. And you will find examples from the last exams as well. Would you suggest having an index here? What type of security problems will you have with this solution? So these are the kinds of questions. If you go down, and I hope that the reference list is complete in terms of literature that is covering this. When it comes to, just for an example, when it comes to the DTD and the schema, I will not ask you to write a DTD. We talked about this when I talked about schemas. I don't expect you in this course to be necessarily good at writing DTDs, but you should be able to read them and understand what they mean. And you will get a DTD, at least one, that you need to understand. But there will be an example document as well. I'll talk about it when I come to that part of the exam. And for schemas, I'm not going to ask you to write a complex schema in the exam, obviously, but I can ask you to describe something, define a schema for something smaller. Say, okay, we would like to have a change. How would that change? How would the schema look for that change? Or how could you write up a schema for the small part? So a little bit, because schema is on the create, it's you should be able to put together simple schemas, simple constructs. But if I had a complex schema, that would be the whole exam question. So the question was, do I expect you to know the syntax of XML schema? As you've seen from my programming, I'm not very good at syntax, so I couldn't ask you to be good at syntax. We're totally ignorant to syntax. As long as I see what you mean. So if you are sure about the syntax, number one, I will give you reference. So I will give you a reference document that explains the type, a complex type, element, simple type, pattern, all of those things that you need. Also for XPath, there will be a small reference sheet, one paper, summarizing the things that you may find useful. But if you're in doubt, just say, I know there is a function here. I don't remember exactly what its name, but this is what it does. This is a signature. I'm happy. Because this is about understanding. This is not about remembering syntax, remembering function names or anything. It's about understanding the concept. So go ahead, just say, okay, I'm not sure what this was name, but this is what I think it was. And then use it, and I'm going to be happy. Yeah. So I'm bad at remembering syntax. So it would be unfair if I ask you to be good at it. Okay, so that's the core topic document. So if you are in doubt, refer to it. I used it when I designed the lectures. I use it when I design the assignments. I use it when I design the exam. Doesn't mean that you're not going to get priority two questions. You may, but these are not the larger ones. So they will be priority one, mostly priority one, and it could be a priority two. You will see that NoSQL is there. I asked a NoSQL question once, so it may come up as a 5 or 10% question. But mostly it's in the core part. As I said, I hope and I intend to follow the guideline of constructive alignment, which means that what you're supposed to learn is what you spend most of the time practicing and which is the thing that we are going to assess. So I hope that what the core document says and what we have been using most time in the lectures on is also what you have been spending most of the time to get the assignments on, and it's also what we're going to ask the questions from. I hope, and that's my intention, and I may fail, but the intention is to try to do this. So because of that, this is, if you look at the last, let's say 7 years or so, at least, the exam has looked kind of like this. I mean, there are small variances, so it may not be exactly 25%, it might be 20, it might be 30, but there is a part, first part is SQL queries, and we're going to go through them one by one afterwards, I just give you the overall. Part number two is on data modeling, part number three is on XML, part number four is other topics, recovery, indexing, security, testing, everything else. We'll go into that part. And you can see the ratio. And there may be adjustments, but basically it's pretty much like this, I think. This is what we have, and I think it reflects pretty well what we have focused on in the lectures and in the assignments. As you probably know, I don't know if it, is it readable? Yeah. So this is an Inspera. So your exam, it will be an Inspera. And I will show you examples from last year's exam, so you get kind of familiar with how it's going to look like. So that's not going to be a surprise. So here you can see the questions. So task one, SQL and relational databases. You see 5%, 5%, 5%, 5%. So this is 25%. Database design, there was a 20% modeling and 10% on the normalization, and then the XML, three XPath questions, and another XML question. I think last year it was a schema question. And there are two other topics. So that's kind of what you can expect. Okay, so I don't know if this is going to be successful, but what I planned is to go through the major parts of the course. I'm going to be pretty quick on several things, so I have a little bit of time to go into some more specific. And if you're okay with that, then we just let it flow. If you feel that I should say more about something, you can raise your hand and ask questions, and then we run the risk of either not being done or not being done in time. So just to warn you, the 45 minutes we have after next break, I put up recording for 90 minutes. So in case we keep sitting here and you think it's still valuable. I don't intend to use it, but if there are questions, we may spend the time. Because if you think that there's something to learn from this, then I devote the time to it. If you need to leave before, then of course, you're free to do so. Oh, okay, sorry. So select is the most important SQL query. So we're going to ask you several select queries because it's quite, kind of complex, and that's how we really can see that you understand the relational model, how things are related, how you can join data, how you can filter data, how you can group data, and everything. And just to make sure that you just didn't work on it, we will also ask typically, one of the questions will typically be an insert or an update or a delete. We have not yet, but it could happen that we ask you about a DDL question as well, like creating a table or modifying a table, adding a constraint or deleting a column. So be a little bit familiar. But again, it's not a syntax game. So if you don't remember the exact syntax, just write what this is what I kind of remember what it was. But it's more about if you understand the functionality of it. And yeah, SQL is much more. But this is what we have been looking at. Now, this is my first tip of the day. I think Dipti talked about it as well. When you get to write the SQL statements, how do you go forward? I mean, when we read it, when we see select, and it is distinct or not, and there's a list of columns from some tables having some conditions, possibly grouped, and possibly some conditions on the grouping, and possibly some ordering. That is kind of the sequence. Now, what I recommend, and what we'll go through an example in just a second, what I recommend is to start here. Start by saying, what tables do I need to visit to get the data to answer the query? Because, you know, in relational databases, everything is a relation. So if you have all the data you need in one relation, it's just about extracting what you need from there. So the first thing is to construct that one table that has everything we need. So start there. Start with the from part and figure out which are the tables. If there are three tables, you may only need two of them. Start by finding what tables contain the information you need and how are they linked. Because we need to join. There are foreign keys, primary keys, and foreign keys can be joined to primary keys to join up information. And how would we join them? When we've done that, then we can start saying, okay, now we are probably not interested in all the rows in this big table. We are just probably interested in some of them. So now let's work on the where part. And then, do we need some grouping? Okay, then we group them. And maybe there is a condition on the groups, then we add this one up. Then it's time to worry about what are we going to return to the user, which then is in the select list. These are the columns that we ask to return. And if there's ordering, we just put that on the very end. This way, I think you have a focus more on getting the data through, and that was what I was planning to do here. So let's give you asked about a complex SQL exam question. Now, this one is something that could have been an example question for the exam, but it's not. So we have a case where we have a table of people. So you have just the ID and the name. I need to make it short so it don't fill up the whole screen with lots of data. So just a name. It would probably be first name, last name. It probably email, it would probably phone number, lots of stuff. But we just look at the ID and the name. And then we have a log of activities. So this is the ID of the person doing this. This is the actual the date of the activity. This is the activity itself. And then for how long you did. So either you were running for some time, or you were climbing for some time, or whatever. So given this database, we are to write a SQL query that finds the name of the person and the total time spent, should be spent per activity, for activities totaling to at least 90 minutes, results sorted in inverse order of total duration. So now I think you can agree that this comes in handy. So rather than just pulling out all our hair to try to put together these monstrous statements, let's do it gradually. Let's do it step by step. So we need the name and the total time spent per activity for certain activities, totally to at least 90 minutes. So this is where I prepared this, and hopefully this one will work. So we have the two tables, and I just put in some sample data. We have a table of people, three people, and logs. So the first person running for 45 minutes, 10th of October. Person number three was running the same day, but a little bit longer. And then some climbing activities, running, skiing, whatever. Now, the question is, which tables do we need here? Do we need both? We need the name and we need activity. And name and activity are on two different tables. We need both. Okay, so let's say we need log, but not just log, we need to join log with person, which is the other one. Now, when we join, we need to find the matching foreign key and primary key. You agree? And what is the foreign key? Well, in log, I have ID, and that matches person ID. Why do I have to prefix ID here? Yeah, because the attribute has the same name, and it's two places, so we need to say which one we refer to. Now, okay, so now what's going to happen when the database... We could do just this. We can have a query like this. Select whatever, star, where from log, join person on this one. What the result will be is that, okay, now what will happen is that we will get this table, because we're going to join one, and assuming that there is a match for everything, for all, you remember the difference between inner and outer joins? You remember? So in inner join, you will only get a row into the table if it matches the other one. But if you look at the other table here, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, they're all there. And in any case, there is a foreign key, so you'd have to assume that the primary key exists. So what I did is I started to create this bigger table that's going to have everything from the join. So now, what do I do? Well, I have a person with ID 1 here. And this person is going to be here. And person number 3... would be this guy. Person number 3 is here. It's here. 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 And then person number 2. This is actually the result. In a relational database, we deal with relations. And now, after a join, we created a larger... and why is ID twice? Because it has the same value. I mean, do we have to have it twice? Yeah, the database would know. I mean, it's asked to join, okay, and the join would be all the columns together, and when it joined, it excluded all other combinations. So it didn't take the running activity of this person and match it up with the other people. But this is how it's filling up the table. The table is a join, so it has the ID from the person and ID from log, and they just have to be the same since we did a join on them. You agree with me? If we go back to the question, so, I was a bit too quick here. I missed the where part. So the where part is that we just looked for activities running and skiing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to have a where part here. So let me just, I should have remembered. So we would like to say that activity here, this column, should be running or skiing. So it's a constraint, and that's in the where part. So we say where activity equals running. Or could we just do skiing? No. We need to say or takes two comparisons. So the or would then be or activity equals skiing. Okay, now, so this big table, what's going to happen next? The database system is saying, okay, is this running or skiing? Yes, it is. So this should be with us with the result. This is not running, skiing. This is not. This is. So they should be with us after this operation. You agree with me? So after this part of the processing, we are left with the two tables joined, but just the rows that had something to do with skiing and running. So far, it's just the simple part. Now, grouping is the harder part. What is grouping all about, and how do I know that I need to do some grouping? Well, it says total time. Sorry, I should use the other one. It says total time spent per activity for each person. So what we want to do here is that we need to group. So, okay, we have our big table. And we're going to be grouping. So the first one needs to be going into that table, because the first one is adding to the group. So the first one, okay, what will we be grouping by? Okay, I should do that. What should we group by? Activity and the person. And person is the ID and activity. So you want to group. Person and activity should be grouped together. And how much time was spent by that person doing that activity? That's the grouping. So, and for total, how do we get the total? Well, we need to do a sum of duration. Okay, so after this one is added to the group, what will the total be? It'll be 45, because it's the first one in the group. Now, let's take the next one here. Where's the next one? Okay, this one. There's a new group because it doesn't match the ID and the activity of the first one. Now, what's the total? It's 87. Okay, so these two are done. Next one is number one. Number one we know from before, so we just need to add 53. So 45 plus 53, that should be 98. And then we'll look for the next one. Next one looks like something different than what we had before, so we need to add it to the group. And how much time? 53. The final row is, okay, it's person number three. It's skiing, so we already got this guy. And we just need to add, and that should be, like this? Or is it 102? It should be 102, isn't it? 102. Is this how you, in your head, you think grouping works? Now, do you now understand why if you do select date for a group, you're going to get the first date, even though these are for many dates? So never ever trying to select anything but what you're aggregating and what you're grouping on, because everything else is just going to be one pick value from, you follow me? Since I'm not grouping on date, I can get a date, but the date is just going to be one of those being used. It's not going to be common date for everyone, because what's common to the group would be the aggregate, and it will be what we group on. Question? How do I get the sum? Well, we need to look at the select then, because the sum is, I'm just now saying, okay, we need that. We need the sum because we need the total, and the total we need the sum. And we tell that in the select because then we ask for this column. Right now it's just under the hood. We create it because I know that I need it. So when I group by, it means that it creates these groups, and in addition, I added the sum because I know that I'm grouping because I need the total. But you'll see in a second how this plays out. Now comes the question. If you look here, at least 90 minutes on this activity. And could we do that in the where part? No, because the where part, it only here, before I did the grouping, I can only see the duration of the individual log entries. But now I would like to test that in this period, the total was at least 90 minutes. So, which of these are more than 90 minutes? This is. This is not, so it disappears. This is. Oh, sorry, I forgot again to. Oops, sorry. I also forgot to fill in the having. So for having, we would like the sum, so that this is where the sum comes in. The sum in the first place. Sum duration should be larger than 90, or at least, was it? So larger than or equal to 90. And after I do that, I have my result table, but I'm not showing all that to the user, because what we asked to do was to find the name, the activity, and the total. So this is the last part we do, is to look at the select. So what do we select? We select name, which we have here. We got from the person table, and we like the activity. These are the ones we grouped on, and then we like some duration. And in the result, so I do get the name. I do get activity, and I do get duration. And order by, I don't remember if I did add it, but my intention was that it should be ordered by the duration in decreasing order. So that's some duration in descending order. And that means the core, or that means that this would be the header, this would be larger than the other one. Okay. Nope. This should be the other one. Ah, that's right. Thanks. So that will be then the final query. I don't know if you feel it's, it would be easier to attack it the way I do rather than trying to come up with this SQL statement. But I think if you start by saying, okay, now, as we did here, what do I need? What are the tables? So I need to join them on something. Then I need to pick out the ones that are actually going to look at. And then I need to group them somehow, and the grouping will depend on what was the per something. And as you said, you need to either count a number of things or you need to sum up a number of things. So typically you group for aggregation. You want to say how many did how many running trips, or how many times were you running in the month, for instance, or how many times were you climbing, and what is the total time? So you could sum, or what's your longest run? You could do a max. So you have to do that aggregation column here. And the having is a condition on the aggregated value. We could do having on this value as well, but I mean, why care? We would do it in the where part. So we didn't have to put it in the aggregated table in the first place. Do you follow me? Was that a helpful way to think about how the querying works and how you could do it? I hope it does. So this is the how it might look like in your case. What you will get is a two-page document. The first describes the case, like here, and the second one is an example table. Just don't assume that this example table would be the only acceptable table. Sometimes, because of space, we won't be able to show everything, every combination in that table. So just go with the schema you have here that says what are the primary keys, what are the foreign keys, what are nulls and not nulls. And then you write in your statement here. And that's the first answer in your exam. Part two is the data modeling. So conception modeling could go in there. You will have to write come up with a UML model, pretty decently complex one. You have a five-hour exam. I think that you should assume that you're going to spend 4 hours working and 1 hour for having lunch and breathing and go to the toilet and looking over and everything. So about for 25% question, spend about an hour. So the modeling would typically be around 1 hour. Don't spend more, because a model can always be improved. If you spend more time, unless you know you have time, then you're going to steal some of the time you should have for other questions. My recommendation in terms of strategy would be go through the whole exam and get rid of the easy ones. If you know SQL very well, get them out of the way. If you know XPath very well, get them out of the way. Do the easy ones first, get them out of the way. Then you know how much time you have for the harder parts. Rather than doing them from the beginning to the end, when you come to the modeling, you spend 2 hours on the modeling, you have no time for the rest of the exam. That's not a good strategy. Yeah, and there will be a normalization. What are the design elements? Strong entity types, weak entity types, specializations. These are kind of the classes. If you were the program design, these would be our classes. Entity types will be the same as a class. What are the nouns? What are the people? What are the cars? What are the projects that we need to represent? Now, let's do a bit of Menti. That takes time, but I think it may be a thing to do. So let's do the Menti. Now, a Menti. Let's assume that you have a table call or an entity type called phone, where the phone number is the primary key and the owner ID is the reference to a person. But before answering, what is a weak entity? Someone will remember what a weak entity is? What characterizes a weak entity?
An entity without primary key.
Entity without primary key? We will always want to have primary keys.
Unique primary key.
Unique primary key. Other suggestions? An entity that depends strongly on another entity to exist. Okay? Given these two pieces of input, what would you say? Which of these... is this a weak entity? Because, I mean, phone number strongly depends on the owner. There is no reason to have my phone number in the database if I'm not in there. So it's obviously not... depends on me. It wouldn't make sense to keep it in the database if you didn't know about me. But does it have a primary key? Well, it did have a primary key. Now let's look at the results. Most of you say yes, some would say no. I'm sorry to say that those who said no are right. Why is that? Because, as you were saying, weak entities has something to do with the primary key. Because if the existence, if the ID is part of the primary key, so if you look here, since the foreign key here was on owner ID, and owner ID was not the primary key, then this is not a strong. Sorry, this is not a weak one. It has its own ID, so it's strong. It has its complete, it's not that it doesn't have an ID, but it has its complete primary key. If I made this into a different table where the phone number, sorry, where the owner ID was the primary key, then primary key was also foreign key, then it would be weak. So weak means that the key of the strong object is part of, either completely or part of, the key of the weak entity. So it's not that it just depends on something. It's not that, because, I mean, the phone number here, obviously we didn't want to have the phone numbers if we didn't have people, but that's not the criteria. Criteria for weak is that a part of the key is the primary key of the entity type that defines it. Then we have the binary relationships, ternary relationships. We have keys, primary keys. We have partial keys in weak entities. We may have partial keys. We have attributes. We may have attributes on relationships. So this is your vocabulary. And this is what you can go and play with in when you try to solve some of the many design cases that are in previous exams. My recommendation is divide and conquer. Don't solve the whole model in once. Try to see what parts does it consist of. And find the parts first, and then for each of the parts, find what are the entity types, what would be the classes, what are the nouns that describe the case, and then how are these related? Then we look at the relationships. Then cardinalities, how many of that type can relate to the other types? And then think about primary keys and alternate keys. Don't ever put a foreign key in a conceptual model. Why not? Why aren't you putting a foreign key in the conceptual model? What is a foreign key? What does it represent? Yes, but what is the, so why wouldn't it fit in here? Because it represents relationships. And in a UML model, we draw lines as relationships. So whenever there is a line, there will be foreign keys when we get to the relational model. That's right. It's in a different context. And then when you have made the small models for the various parts of the case, you try to combine them and merge it into one larger model. I'm going to run a little bit over already the first lecture hour as well, so we get through this first part. So this is the example case. So here, this was last year for the main exam. It was an online music streaming service, and you have something about people. You have albums, you have music companies, and you have tracks. So maybe we divide into this is about the music, this is about the users, and try to solve these smaller models first, and then integrate them up. The relational model, we have relations, attributes, tables, domain. So this is the question of going from a UML to a relational model. We need to make the entity types into relations or tables. We need to make attributes into columns. We need to define the domain. Now, null. Let me just, before we take a break, let's do this null. That's an interesting thing. Let's do the null question. So, if I go to phpMyAdmin and I write this select statement, select null equals null, what would the answer be? Will it be 1, which is true? Will it be 0, which is false? Will it be null, which is, I don't know? What do you think? It's quick to do. Interesting. We don't know. We don't know. So let's say you don't know my age and you don't know Gloria's age. Does that mean that we are the same age? No, we don't know. So we don't know if they are equal. They could be. We could be the same age. Probably not. So we don't know. That's the right answer. So it's null. We don't know. It could be. Maybe we have the same age. Null means that we don't know. So if we don't know two people's name, maybe they're the same age. Maybe they're not. The only thing we are sure about, we don't know. So that's why it's null. Okay, let's take a break. That's why we have is to check if it is null. Then we will check, meaning is not defined, is what that means. Yeah, let's take a break.